Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Final Fantasy VII Remake is back, and I am here, Brooklyn Zed, with the person I am lucky to have hear my final words. I'm so grateful, Adam H., that you're here, that you will hear my final words.
Oh my god.
I'm so lucky.
Okay, what are your final words? What do you want your final words to be? What a dark question. But you know what? Gosh. This is going to be a dark podcast, so...
It is. I've never thought about my final words. I've always wanted to turn my ashes, some of my ashes, into a record, which is a thing you can do.
Okay.
I have a death playlist to put on the record. And then some of the... You can plant them and turn yourself into a tree. I don't know how that works, but I want to do that too.
What kind of tree?
I would have to ask my partner, who's an arborist, what the appropriate kind of tree for me would be. They would know. I don't know.
You could be planted as any kind. It's not like a specific.
Well, I don't even know. I really don't know. But even if you can only be one kind of tree, fine. I'd love to be a tree.
But like, wouldn't it? Okay. Like, is it a Zed tree? Like, are they? I mean, what?
Sure.
Yeah. Zed, this is a dark time.
Yeah.
In our playthrough here.
I mean, the chapters we are covering are called Fight for Survival and A Broken World. So, yeah, it's a dark time.
Very dark. Very grim.
It's a little bit like we are ascending the Dark Tower, just to make a reference to a completely unrelated fantasy series that I'm reading right now.
Sure. What is it? What is the Dark Tower?
Stephen King.
Oh.
It's a 7 novel series by Stephen King.
No, I have
turned somehow into a 90-minute movie, by the way.
Yeah, I think I'm done with like 7 plus novel series. I think my new cutoff is 3. I used to have more time for like bigger things, and then like I've tried to do there's like so many that I've tried to read, and it's just like I can't do it. Like I got to like book 2 of Wheel of Time, and I was like, what are we doing here? I've tried the Lord of Good Lord, everything that could have gone bad, these chapters basically went bad. There were so few wins here. Maybe one if we like really want to, you know, pick something out of the ashes, but like, good Lord, they just took everything. And I just had to sit here and take it, is basically what happened here.
But
this was all bad, Zed.
But literally all our friends are back. Every single person that you've been like, we haven't seen them in ages, they're here.
Well, yeah.
I'm curious what that's going to do to the attractiveness rankings. That's all I could think about as I was playing. It's like, look, this person's back. This person's back. This person's back. All these people that were at the top of the list that you were like, we haven't seen them in forever. Well, they're here.
Okay. Well, let me just...
For now. For a good time, not a long time.
For like a few seconds. Said, here's the problem. And I don't... I honestly struggled really hard with the attractiveness ranking this week because... Did they stay on the list or they're dead?
I mean, it's your list. You make the rules.
Like, do I have to take them off the list?
No.
I think I might, though. I don't know. It gets really messy. And I honestly, I have not written down a list, but we'll do it live when we get to the end. So this will be interesting.
Stay tuned to the end of the podcast for a live attractiveness ranking update.
Will dead characters be on it is the real question.
Now we're really like a news podcast. That's how they do the news. They're like, at 10, except at 10, they actually mean at 10:45, they're going to give you that story that you really want to hear.
Yeah. I don't know that I've like watched the news in a while.
I was very lucky.
Last night was a very early night for me in terms of like watching news coverage. I was very happy to see that.
True.
Also, to get Steve Kornacki back on my screen, because What a man. What an absolute man. He's number one on the... Can I put him on the attractiveness rankings? Because I'd put him at number one and it wouldn't even be close.
I feel like that's not the first time this has come up on a Push or
probably
Recap
not.
Podcast.
No, probably not.
Or RHAP, you know, the larger world in general. People have talked about their appreciation for Steve Kornacki in the not too recent past.
Yeah.
If folks are listening to this in the not immediate future, but the further future... That was a weird thing to say. Yesterday, December 6th, 2022. Wow, I almost said 2017. Boy, when?
2017?
When are we? Because it's the 7th. I don't know. It's December 7th as we're recording this. Last night was the Georgia Senate runoff. And Raphael Warnock won over a football player who knows nothing about anything. So we're moving on with our lives. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, and he went fairly early, so I was able to I was able to play the second chapter of this game afterwards, and I was really worried I was going to have to play the second chapter like at 1:30 a.m. or something ridiculous, like whatever they called it.
Some benefits of Central Time too.
Yes, well, I mean, it was it would have still been pretty late regardless, but I was able to play both chapters, which is great. So I guess we should talk through the chapters here.
It's about that time.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. My notes are very scrambled for this, so we'll see.
Well, when last we left our heroes.
Yeah, well, we left off after all that haunted weird stuff, and we saw Baird climbing the tower to fight some helicopters where, what was it, both Rude and Reno, didn't even cross my mind that they were both, like, four-letter R names. I don't know why, but whatever. They're both in the helicopter. There's a lot of helicopters roaming around here.
Yeah. They got another bird down.
Yeah, another bird eventually. Down. Trying to drop the plate.
Too concerned about it.
Yeah, they don't care. They could not possibly care less about anyone inside that helicopter. They're trying to drop the plate on Sector 7.
Yeah.
Which, first of all, that should not even be like a thing that is capable of happening.
I said that too. And I don't think it had really occurred to me until this playthrough. I was like, why is this even a command that is possible to execute?
Yeah.
In what world would it be beneficial in like a fair and just world to like what is that going to accomplish for anyone? Nothing good.
Yeah. Truly, there seems to be no benefit of this thing that is seemingly pretty easy to do.
Right. Enter some codes on a computer at the top of the tower.
Yeah, like we've done more complicated things to get through a door. Like, there are...
Yeah, you don't have to do synchronized lever pulling.
Yeah, no, it's
pushing.
Nothing. And it's just one person. There's not even like a failsafe of like, oh, these two people need to be entering into the same...
Very flawed system, Shinra.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. So we're getting there. We get immediately bombarded by these specters again, by the Dementors. One of them... quite enigmatic. I have to say, really enigmatic. Did we already do this fight? Why did this happen again? Why am I doing this again? We have to kill Spectre like F so that the enigmatic Spectre can be vulnerable, and then we go kill Spectre J. Like, they just it's ridiculous.
And you don't even actually beat them. They just eventually leave.
They just go away after we get the health bar down to zero, which, again, one of my least favorite things, especially because who cares if this one enigmatic Spectre dies? There could be hundreds more. They come back and I'd be like, well, that just makes sense. We don't need the same one again. They don't need to fly away. Let me kill them.
Do you have any particular feelings about why they show up when they show up?
I have no idea what they are doing there. And I probably should have a better guess, you know, as like a semi quasi intelligent person playing through the game. I have no idea, but they seem to show up, in the worst times, like truly in the worst times when things are looking not great. And they show up in Sector 7 a lot too, because we've had both fights of these in Sector 7. I do think we've seen them elsewhere.
They were in the church with Aerith, which is in Sector 6, I want to say. It might be 5. Sorry. It's 5. It's 5. Don't skewer me for my sector numbers out there.
I was going to say like 9, so I don't know.
There aren't even 9 sectors, so there's 8.
No. I don't know. There could be, what if
but I'm pretty sure it's either 5 or 6. Don't at me about it.
Yeah, we don't care, okay? If it's 5 or 6.
Point being, we have seen them outside of Sector 7.
Yes, it's not just a Sector 7 situation. So, but there are a lot of them in Sector 7, and we fought them. Fight it? Really? Is that what I'm saying right now? Oh my god. It's early, people. It's early. It's fine. Okay, we fought them again for the second time here. We killed the enemy inspector, and then we kept moving on. Okay, so... let me think about how this went. So we kept going. We saw Wedge basically mm-hmm. fall down right on his broken ass.
Yep. Landed on his broke ass.
And he is in some real pain, and Tifa and Aerith volunteer to stay back with him. I don't know that we needed both of them to stay. Like,
I think Cloud is like, you guys stay with Wedge and I'm going to go by myself.
Yeah.
And they're like, we could come with you. And he's like, no, just me.
Yeah.
Alone.
Very, very confusing, Cloud. Like, you know, Tifa and Aerith are both incredibly competent. Why are we
trying to? Certainly proved themselves.
I could certainly see, like, one of them staying back to heal. But, like, they, you know, they both have healing material equipped. Like, they should be fine to heal. I don't know what we're doing here. But Cloud heads in, and then we are basically just climbing stairs and going around this building for ages. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god. This takes such a long time, and, you know, it's kind of a theme of, like, one of the things that, like, didn't really work well for me these two chapters was just, like, the sheer amount of running from point A to point B while fighting random things. Mm-hmm. Not a huge fan of that particular situation. So we kill. It's like a bunch of the classics. We have people with shields. We have people with the spinny sticks. We have people who are flying around like a
the hella troopers.
Yeah, those guys suck.
Yeah, I hate them.
If you're flying around out on the side, how am I even supposed to attack you?
Well, you can jump and. An unrealistic height into the air.
But not if they're, like, literally off the sides.
Well,
of
yeah,
the
no.
Building. Yeah, they weren't even... Yeah, they were. It's not just that they were flying, because, like, whatever, we fought other flying things before, but they were literally off the sides of the building, so I couldn't do it. Okay. We basically just kept going up and 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 up. I'm not going to talk about every single little fight there, because it took a million years. But
along the way...
Along the way is where we see just some terrible things. My boy.
My beautiful boy.
My man, Viggs. He did his best. He really mm-hmm. he really tried. He cleared some paths, I think. He did important work up there, and pour one out for Biggs as he perishes.
Yeah. They do have this, like, poignant conversation. And Biggs is like, here's the things I need you to do for me that I can't do. And then he's going on and on about the Leaf House. He's like, there's an orphanage. The Leaf House. I used to go there and take care of the kids. Cloud's like, you got to do that one yourself. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And Biggs gets in one final burn of, oh, but he's like, let me guess, you don't like kids, but you have so much in common.
Yeah, I did. You know, we love Biggs here.
Sick burn right there at the end.
Yeah, love Biggs. If dead people are still allowed on the attractiveness rankings, he's earned his number one spot yet again.
Whoa. Okay.
But we don't. Who knows if they are? Anyway, I was so sad here to lose Biggs. Of course, like, it was going to happen. We couldn't have gotten out of this game with all of the side characters. Just because, you know, we know.
Well, and just as a reminder, in the original Final Fantasy VII, this is obviously much more succinct. And you are literally just running up the stairs. You're not doing any fights. And along the way, Biggs, Jesse, and Wedge are all just, like, splatted on the stairs. And you can, like, talk to them. And I think they just have, like, I don't think they have dialogue. I think they have, like, dot, dot, dots. Or they say maybe one thing, but that's, like, that's it.
Yikes.
Because they're such minor characters in the scheme of things in the original game.
Yes.
You know, you do, like, the one bombing mission with them where you have to hit the table all together and Jesse's opening all the doors. And then other than that, they're not really there. And they're just these, like, extra Avalanche people who happen to have names who have then, like, died on the stairs of the pillar.
Well, they were big in my heart. Yeah, that's for sure.
They were certainly fleshed out to a massive degree here in Remake.
We keep going. We keep going up and up and up and up and up. We do continue to see cutscenes of Reno and Rude in the helicopter, and then we get a pretty dramatic change here. We go back down to the three at the bottom: Tifa, Aerith, and Wedge. Mm-hmm. And Tifa's like, "I gotta go help, even though I just stood here for a few seconds, maybe a minute and a half. I gotta go up there. Yeah, can't be sitting down waiting here."
Like,
with you.
It was faster to just let him go and think he's gonna do this by himself than to argue with him about it. He's had a minute head start, and now I'll catch up, and he won't be able to do anything about it because yes. I'll just be there.
Yeah, you know, a decent strategy from Tifa, I guess, if that's your goal. And then Aerith and Wedge are going back to Sector 7 trying to evacuate it, where we get to play as Aerith here. And so she's going back to Sector 7. We give Wedge a really nice moment here at the gate, actually, where there's these Shinra troops, stupid idiots who are saying, "No, we can't open the gate. You have to just stay here and basically die." There's a senior guy and a junior guy, and Wedge is giving the speech of a lifetime. You know, we have to go in. We're all gonna die. It's gonna be terrible. You have to let us in. Uh-huh. And it worked. The junior guy opened the gate. The senior guy was like, junior guy's like, "Shut up."
He says, "Close the gates, close the gates." And the guy says, "I won't do that.
I won't obey that order." You know, whatever. Good job on Wedge, getting them to open up. And then we go into Sector 7. We're trying to evacuate Sector 7. This is where we get the helicopter just coming right down. Yep. We got another bird down. It was heading right for 7th Heaven, but of course it's going to land right in front of it. Block our path there. Because, you know, we're trying to go save Marlene is the big kind of point here for Aerith. Mm-hmm. And we had to block that path somehow. So we're going to do it with a burning helicopter. And Aerith goes, tries to save people. She picks up a little girl on the way just to, like, bring her, like, 100 feet over to the pipe. I don't know. She's saving people. Yeah. Aerith's great. Aerith then gets finally to 7th Heaven. They had to like go around, like freaking over the woods through the river here, through the fire rather, mm-hmm. around into 7th Heaven. We find Marlene. We have a very emotional conversation with like a 4-year-old, 7-year-old. I have no idea how old she is.
Well, this is a regular complaint I have throughout the game is that all the kids size wise look like they're about 3 years old, but talk like they're about 8.
Yeah.
So it's unclear. They have like a very significant understanding of what's going on around them. And I interact with a 3-year-old on a regular basis. And I think people tend to underestimate how intelligent preschoolers are. However, the vocabulary and sentence structure of the children in this game is elevated far beyond preschool levels. And so it's very disorienting to me that it's like this tiny child speaking like they're in like 3rd or 4th grade.
Yes. So we do, I mean, Marlene agrees to come with us. We go mm-hmm. out, except, as we're trying to go out, we get Sang mm-hmm. coming into the bar. It's like, "We need you, Aerith," whatever. Aerith seems totally like unfazed by this. Yeah. She seems like everything's fine. And she's just like, "Let's make a deal." Mm-hmm. Then Wayne Brady shows up and offers us behind curtain number 2. That was a little "Let's make a deal" reference there for uh-huh. you. I love Wayne Brady.
Before we get out of 7th Heaven,
please.
Did you clock anything in this interaction between Aerith and Marlene?
Did I clock
anything in particular?
What did she say there? I thought it was weird that she said, like, "Oh, you smell nice." Then
well, she said, "You smell
flower.
Like our flower."
Yeah.
Which is the flower that Aerith gave to Cloud that Cloud then gave to Tifa.
Yeah.
But they hug while they're back there. And mm-hmm. there's this little like glitchy flash moment. And then Marlene and Aerith like look at each other. And Aerith puts a finger up to her lips like, "Don't tell anybody." And that is another place where like this reading that Marlene might also be an ancient comes from.
Oh.
Of like she has this same kind of like foresight planet connection that Aerith has. And I think Aerith can sense that in her. And we'll see a handful of times throughout the game that, like, when Aerith has physical contact with other people, she gets a sense of their, like, connection with the planet. And I think in this moment with Marlene, we kind of see that, like, she can feel it too, maybe. I mean, we'll see how that plays out further on in the game. But she's like, it's a secret, don't tell anybody.
Doesn't Cloud also have those kind of reactions, though?
Well, he's got this whole Sephiroth thing going on.
Okay. They present it very similarly.
Very similarly, yes, I agree.
Okay. Sang takes her. They try to make a deal. Yada, yada. We'll get to that in just a second. Then we're heading back with Cloud and Tifa, who I believe the first person that they interact with up here as they continue to rise. Well, first of all, Cloud gets mad at Tifa. You shouldn't have come here. That's my Cloud. And so we continue to rise up and up, and then we see tragedy on tragedy yet again as Jesse, who is blowing up helicopters like a badass.
Yeah, she's out like here launching grenades into helicopters.
She is absolutely doing it. I freaking love Jesse, but unfortunately she perishes as well. And we get the scene that Sid was talking about at the top of the podcast, where I'm glad the Cloud was here to hear my last words. I still ship them. I'm very sad that she's dead.
Cloud and Jesse?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen more of that. I'm not going to lie. He even brings up, like, you owe me a pizza, which, like, is such a stupid line, but also was, like, very cute and adorable.
It is, like, the kind of thing you say to a friend of, like, you can't do this because, you know, yeah. You try to, like, make light of the situation a little bit because of how, like, dark it is.
Yeah, and Jesse's not like this, you know, big deep emotional person who's like gonna cry here. Like, she's still mixing it up even like in her last breaths and like still trying to again like make light of the situation. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I was sad. I wanted more Jesse. I'm not happy that they killed off, like, you know, both Jesse and Biggs.
Did you notice, I mean, I'm going to guess not since you didn't comment on it, that there were Dementors around Biggs and Jesse?
Yeah. I mean, I did, like, notice, but I did, like, again, just is they're just all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's important. This is going to come.
They're just there. They are there.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about this in, like, 5 or 6 podcasts, and you'll be like, oh, Adam, do you remember?
Maybe.
And I'll be like, nope, I don't, but here we are. Okay. So we keep going up and up. And then, of course, we get to probably the hardest boss fight thus far.
Okay.
I'd have to think about that for a second, but I think that, like, I like really was going balls to the wall on this. Like, he really, like, had to be on it. It is the boss fight with Reno and Rude. And so we start, I think, with Reno on the ground, and Rude is in the helicopter. We then get, like, a bombing situation. Reno pops out, and then...
Yeah. And at this point, you've reunited with Barrett as well.
Correct.
Fortunately, because you need to be able to shoot at the helicopter.
Yes, Barrett is big. Like, some of his abilities, too, are just really big here in this fight. Yeah, this was a really hard fight. There were a few abilities where I was like, dang. It took me a second to figure out the pyramid of it all. Because Reno uses that and we'll like play, and I have to like attack the pyramid, but it like still will drain your health bar while you're in the pyramid. So you like really have to get that taken care of. And then when they're both on the field, things are just incredibly difficult as they're just moving around. They have some synchronized moves as well. Reno is so freaking fast. This was a really hard fight. And it took quite a bit to actually do. A couple of things that I did just as like strategy wise, I have no idea what the optimal strategy to play this game is, but I was having Barrett tank a lot of stuff because he has the lifesaver, I think is what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And so like steel skin plus lifesaver And then I was just constantly throwing heals on him while everyone was doing damage. And so that worked pretty well. I had regen on most of the time now that I've figured out how to use that.
Yeah, it's a big
which
one.
Which is good. And then low-key, Tifa came in huge here because she was able to increase that stagger bar quite a bit for both of them. That's something that she can do really well. And then once that happens, basically my logic here for every boss fight is like use a limit break when they are staggered. Just like that is, you know, it just seems so good.
It's a good move.
And so getting Tifa to get them to the staggered point faster is big. They also let me use a summon this time. I only have one summon of Ifrit, but like, I don't know what else I'd be using because Ifrit is an absolute dog out there. Like, this thing is like moving and shaking. He's throwing fire on things. Like, I don't know if there's one better than Ifrit. There probably is, but
next time you see Chadley,
I haven't seen Chadley in a million years.
I know. I'm saying next time you see Chadley, do the VR missions and you will get more summons.
Hopefully Chadley didn't die.
He didn't. I'll tell you that.
What if he did though, Zen?
I mean, that would be very sad.
Not as sad as Jesse or Biggs.
I love my boy Chadley, but I think you're right.
Yeah, there's, you know, Chadley's just a casualty here. Yeah, I mean, and then eventually, you know, what is it? Rude comes down. I will say, Rude had another moment with the glasses.
He did.
He had another. It wasn't quite the same, you know, vibe of the earlier glasses. Also, there was a moment that I clocked. You're talking about me clocking moments. I'm not that, you know, I'm not very good at playing video games, but there was a moment that Rude like shoved the helicopter away as Reno was like trying to had like a very open shot. I don't know. It was weird.
He shoved the helicopter away.
He turned the helicopter away. Like Reno had like a very clear shot.
I think you meant after it had crashed and he pushed the helicopter. I was like, what?
No, the helicopter crashed and they were both just miraculously fine coming out of it.
Any landing you can walk away from.
Yeah, that was fine. But I did, again, I did clock that Reno was shifting the helicopter away. So, or Rude was, so that Reno didn't have a clear shot on Tifa. I don't know. I don't know what that was about, but.
Okay.
There's, you know, just throwing stuff out there. Okay. Eventually, we win. Huzzah.
Uh-huh.
Great. That's basically the end of this chapter. We're just like trying to flee here. It is like the actual ending. They give us, I thought this was so dumb, Ted. They give us 30 seconds to just walk over to Tifa.
Yeah, very silly timer.
Like makes no sense. And they like, I don't control when Cloud runs or walks. I just press the button forward. And then whatever he decides to do pace wise is between him and God. Like that. I have no impact on that whatsoever. And so putting a timer on me walking like a little bit makes just no sense. So whatever. That was the ending of this chapter. I guess I should also say at that ending was Rude and Reno, really Reno, just like going over and well, they're both like going over to the thing, the just conveniently placed computer that makes all the decisions and dropping the plate.
Yeah, you do this whole fight and you win and then they're like, cool, so we're still conscious and functioning and we're gonna go do the thing we were gonna do before this fight anyway.
Yeah. You know, Cloud, I feel like had a great opportunity to just kill them, just like straight out kill them. Especially because we were willing to kill Johnny way back in chapter one. And it was nothing. And these guys are like actually evil. Uh-huh. Although Johnny might actually be evil too. I don't know. But they dropped the plate and goodbye.
Yeah, the thing that you did not remember happening last week.
Yeah.
Awkward silence from all of the Final Fantasy VII fans.
It did. Yeah, it didn't happen in the original Final Fantasy VII.
Yes, or... it did.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
you just saw it and you still don't remember it from the original game.
I don't know. I thought I don't know.
that's a massive change if that were a change that they had made in Remake, to be like, oh, this time they are going to drop the plate. No, well, it definitely was always the case.
You know, do you know how quickly we went through things in Final Fantasy VII?
Like, not very quickly.
What do you mean? This whole thing was like one or two podcasts.
You mean the Midgar chapter. I know.
Yeah, Midgar. What are you? Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. Whoa. Some slander here on the podcast. Oh,
I don't think it's slander. It's true.
Oh my goodness. Now you're doubling down on it?
Yeah. We took our time with Final Fantasy VII. That's not problematic. It's just true.
Feels. I'm going to start grunting like Cloud does all the time. And Barrick. Barrick grunts a lot too.
Okay.
There's a lot of grunting.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The plate drops, just like my heart did when Zed is throwing insults here. The plate drops on Sector 7, not great, and we start Chapter 13, and we are just running a lot. We basically just run a lot this chapter. There's, 12 is a lot better than 13 in terms of the story. I thought they did an amazing job ramping up, and then, boy, they really took us down here in Chapter 13. Cloud and Tifa are originally awake, and we basically have to go find Barrett for the first thing. And
yeah, so, who is screaming his head off.
Yeah, who is just like basically right there. Like, I don't know why, whatever. So we keep going, and the idea is we are going to Aerith's mom's house is the thought here, because we were basically looking for Marlene. Barrett wants to find Marlene. Which,
Marlene!
There's more emotion from Barrett towards Marlene in, like, these 10 seconds here where he's yelling than the entirety of the game of Final Fantasy VII. So, here we are.
I actually really like this part, these moments, right after the plate has fallen, and, like, seeing the emotional impact that has on everybody, I think is really good. Barrett, in particular, being, like, so distraught after he has been the, like, strong heart leader of this group, I think is really good storytelling.
Yeah. There are a few moments in this chapter where I actually really enjoyed, especially some of their use of cutscenes. I feel like they did a really good job. And we'll talk about those when we get there, of course. We keep going. We have to walk through Wall Market, which is fun. I did like stop to talk to Madame M, who was just like, man, things are not good here. Not as bad as Sector 7. But that's
low bar.
Very low bar.
Literally, because they dropped it.
Oh, it's a plate. It's not,
low plate.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you. So we continue forward. There's also another cutscene in here with Sephiroth. So Sephiroth is back on the table a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Until they're willing to like give me more Sephiroth, I don't think I'm ready to care about him yet in this particular game. Just because I know there's going to be more later. So like, I didn't need my, appetite whetted. Is that, what am I trying to say?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah. Okay, so there's that. Then we keep going. It is so depressing.
Yeah, you do have to like run from Sector 7 all the way to Sector 5, I think.
Yeah, it's so much. When I see like the 500 plus thing at the top, I'm just like, brutal. And we get there where we see Elmira, who is in...
Elmira. That's always how I think of her name to myself.
Okay.
I don't know. I just felt like sharing that.
Yeah.
Like Elvira, right? Isn't that the song? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yay, yay. All right, continue.
Yeah. Okay, so we get there. Great. Marlene is just fine somehow. So whatever deal was made between Aerith and Zhang, Marlene was able to get out of the crossfire there and be totally fine in Aerith's mom's house. So that's, great for Marlene, I guess. And then, after just a little bit of prodding, not even that much, Elmira tells the story of when she first encountered Aerith way back when, because Aerith is not her daughter by blood. She gives us up maybe a little bit easily because it was very interesting. She asked the question, was like, oh, Aerith must have told you about this. And then we just remain silent. Presumably, yes. But she absolutely didn't tell us about this. And then I was like, oh, well, she must trust you very much. So let me tell you all about it. We play a little coy there to get what we want. I appreciate that. And so this the whole idea, again, they're not related, but Elmira found Aerith way back when she was waiting for her husband to come back on the train. She kept waiting for that train, and it just never came, but she was able to find Aerith. Zed has pulled up a song.
Yeah, I'm just going to play the very beginning of this song for you, because I want you to know what I'm talking about.
Elmira. Are we going to get copyrighted?
That's enough. Oh, no, okay. That's 7 seconds. It should be fine.
Elvira.
The Oak Ridge Boys. There you go.
Oh, they're going to be in Fort Wayne coming up.
Oh, you could go.
It's a little far away to
Not really, but you could go.
It's a, you know.
I'm a little surprised they're still alive.
Oh no.
But anyway, that's what's always in my head when I hear Elmira. Continue.
Okay. Let's see, where was I? I don't know. She told us
about being the ancients. No, she did not. Yeah. So
Elmira
is telling the story of how she met Aerith and kidnap adopted her.
Yes. Well, what can you do when you see a child out there, I guess? I don't know.
It's like, well, Aerith's mother said, take her somewhere safe. Aerith's mother, whose name is Ifalna, we know from the original Final Fantasy, said, take Aerith somewhere safe. And Elmira's like, I was lonely, so I decided she should stay with me.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
In Elmira's defense, I feel like she was a good mother overall.
Yeah, I think it happened to work out in this case. I do not think it's a good precedent to set. I think governments would have things to say about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in this world, we're talking about Shinra.
She's my daughter because I decided she would be my daughter because I missed my husband and I wanted someone to hang out with. So I took this 6-year-old child and I decided she was mine.
Zed, famously anti-adoption, is what I'm hearing here.
Well, except that it isn't really. It's literally kidnapping.
Kidnapping
perhaps turned adoption.
If you listen, if the mother tells you, like, hey, take her somewhere safe, and your
like the Leaf House.
Listen,
a known orphanage, the Leaf House.
There are too many orphanages that are overrun, understaffed, and underfunded. So you know, if you can take someone and give them a good life.
Uh huh.
I'm not anti any of what happened here.
I think this work. I think social this services.
Yeah.
Helping to foster a positive relationship between a prospective adoptive parent and the prospective adoptee child. And just some supervision to make sure you're not a random creepy person on the street.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Anyway. All these places need better funding is really what I'm trying to say. And like, we shouldn't be, okay. She tells us that story and basically we're like, we have to go after her. We have to go find Aerith. And she's like, no, absolutely not. You are not allowed to rescue my daughter who I just explained to you, who is very close to me and who I've been raising my entire life. No, she's gone.
I don't want her to have anything else to do with you.
Absolutely not. You're trouble. Even though she's been taken by Shinra, who's evil and just killed a bunch of people. No, you're the bad guys.
Yeah, this day was always going to come eventually. You stay out of it.
Yeah, you idiots. she doesn't want us to save Aerith for whatever reason. Who knows? But you know what she does love is us walking all the way back to Sector 7. All the way back. We took our sweet time getting there, and then they're just like, oh, time to go back. And we don't even take Marlene. Correct. Why did we come here?
To check in and make sure she's okay, and now we're leaving her somewhere safe.
Oh my.
You're such a proponent of what a safe place Omira's house is.
Barrett is not dying at the train station.
No, he's not. But he's about to go out and continue doing dangerous things. And she can't go home because the baby bartender's bar has been destroyed.
Okay, this could have been an email. Like, we really. We did not need to walk all the way there and back. This was so excessive.
Oh my god.
Or why does the game gave me this option back when we were doing side quests of just like, oh, return to wherever. Yeah. Why did we not get that option here? I did not need all of this. Like, uh-huh. Truly, I didn't, because we the same way that we did before. Also, the music down in, because I'm going to skip basically all of this. We go back down through the tunnels the yeah. same way that we went back time. And the back when Aerith was leading us back through. And the music that's playing down there, the bow, 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 uh-huh. like that one. I hate that music. I hate it so much. And it's not even remotely fitting with the vibe of what just happened. So many people just died. This is a tragic time. And throughout the rest of the space, the music is like very somber and like very emotionally, fitting. Yeah. Down here, it's a bow, bow, bow. And they're just like, it makes no freaking sense. It makes me so upset every time I go through this. Plus, it's like one repeating motif over and over and over again. There's not like intrigue to it. They don't do any variations mm-hmm. on it. This is my least favorite song of the game so far. And I had to listen to it for so long because we fought like 15 things down here.
But the one thing I will say is when I, my first time playing through it, when I was like, oh, we're doing this again, I nearly had a heart attack because I thought I was going to have to do all those cranes again.
Oh, I don't know if I would have been able to.
I know. I was about to rage quit the game. I was like, I cannot. Mm-hmm. But God bless, all the ladders are still down because we just did it presumably like, I don't know, yesterday?
Yeah,
what is time in this game? It's hard
I
to
have
say.
No idea.
There is no sleeping.
No, there's just small rests on benches. that's all there is. Also, it's the bench rests are pretty funny because sometimes the locations of the benches make no sense. Like in the middle of the burning tower as everything was coming to us. It's just like, oh, time for a little nappy poo. Just like out here, it'll be totally fine. Okay, so we go through all of the tunnels. There's fight. There's bandits, blah, 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 whatever. We get out, and we're at the park. Again, where we were before. The entrance to Sector 7. And we meet up with Weimer. Weimer's still alive. Look at yep. Weimer. He's here. I don't know why I thought he was going to be dead or just never seen again. Is like never a part of this game in the future.
Yeah, you
but
never know.
He's here. We had to lose Jesse and Biggs, but thank God we kept Weimer. That was great. We love it. Great. We keep going. I did buy a weapon here because there was a weapons vendor and I was like, what a weird place for a weapons vendor. I wonder why they're there.
Well, they're all also set up like the shady guys on street corners in New York City with all their stuff laid out on a blanket so they mm-hmm. can wrap it up and run from the cops at any moment if they need to.
Yes.
It's like they've taken what's left of their stores after everything was decimated. And they're like, here's what I got left.
And what we have left here is Big Bertha.
Big Bertha.
Big old Bertha is coming through. an amazing gun for Barrett. I think it's an amazing gun for Barrett. I really don't know, but it's the newest weapon, so I have to assume
it's always
good
to have a new weapon. That's in this round, that's always going to be an upgrade.
Yeah. He gets it. Great. We keep going. Down through, we go through some more tunnels again. We come back up in Sector 7, and immediately there's a big explosion. It doesn't take long. Barrett just falls down.
Yes.
Into the giant hole. Everyone else is fine. presumably. But Barrett falls down, and now we get to play as only Barrett.
Yeah.
Down here. You know, it was okay. Is basically the gist of what I'm going to say here. So he also just like shoots through rubble, just like straight up, just like shooting through. That's not how rubble works, but he just like shoots through it.
Yeah, he definitely makes a lot of dangerous decisions for someone underground to be like, this could be destabilizing, but who cares?
That's load bearing rubble, Barrett. What are you doing? He shoots through rubble all the time. He's like, he's going and going and going, basically just trying to find the path to reconnect with people. Mm-hmm. He also has, I forget what the name of the ability is called, but with, I think it was Big Bertha, he unlocked a new ability that is very cool. It just like absolutely pummels people with a stream of missiles and bullets.
Is it Maximum Fury?
Yes.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he absolutely just lets loose. Yeah. And there were multiple times this chapter where there were like 500 enemies or whatever, and because it will just keep auto-targeting the next one, you just use that Maximum Fury ability and it takes out like 10 of them, and it's great.
Yeah, it's like it does a certain amount of damage, and if you're fighting enemies that are not that strong, it will do a whole bunch of them at once, and that is definitely a game changer.
Yeah.
Among all of his abilities, that's probably still the one that I use the most.
It's interesting. There's going to be more abilities. How fun. We eventually get back with Tifa, who is just fighting bugs. There's a lot of bugs here. There's
the like bugaboos.
The little bugaboos.
Did you enjoy your time as just Barrett?
I love when Barrett is in the party because I think that he provides like a very valuable resource in combat. And I think that like he makes funny quips as like the third party member.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's strong enough as the lead.
Okay.
Like, I don't think they're making the Barrett movie. I think, like, Barrett is a great, like, side character.
Sure. I was surprised by what a good time I had playing as Barrett.
Okay.
Because he's not my favorite fighting style either. And when I first encountered that I was going to be just him, I was like, oh boy, I feel like this is going to be a slog. But he's so funny. That I kind of enjoyed just like vibing with him and being like, yeah, let's just shoot a bunch of stuff. That seems like it'll be a good time. Yeah. And it is kind of satisfying to like decimate all those boxes that are for some reason stacked on the wall. Shoot at some actively spinning fans. What could possibly go wrong? He's like, oh, you want to step up to me? I really enjoy the things that he says, and we get a bunch of instances of his which I also really enjoy. So it's like kind of fun, I think, to vibe out with Barrett a little bit. And then you link back up with Tifa and fight all the bugaboos.
Yeah, and we kill the nest. I will say the one thing that I forgot to mention here as being, you know, why we're going down into this hole in the first place. Wedge's cat
led the way. Yeah.
Wedge's cat was able to make it all the way down here, and we're trying to follow Wedge's cat.
Yeah, because we know Aerith has been taken by Sung, but last Tifa saw, Aerith and Wedge were together, so where is Wedge? But they encounter Wedge's cat, and I think it's Cloud who's like, hey, that's Wedge's cat.
Oh yeah. I mean, do you not remember the also important cat side quest from way back when?
Well, but those were Betty's cats.
But Wedge was a part of it. Wedge was over near one of the cats over in Cat Corner over there.
Perhaps, because he loves cats.
Yeah.
But I'm impressed that Cloud is like, oh yeah, that specifically is Wedge's cat. And not just, I don't know, all cats are the same to him.
Yes.
One would think.
Well, he hates children, not cats. Well, yes. He also kind of hates cats, but... You know, he hates a lot.
Cats aren't gonna pay him any money.
Are children gonna pay him money?
They gave him 3 gil, or maybe they're gonna give him 3 gil. That might be later. I can't remember. No, I think that already happened because he goes to kill the Toad King.
Yeah,
and he's got a special on Toad Kings, and they're only 3 gil.
Yeah, we keep finding Moogle medals as well. So.
In the weirdest places.
In the wild, yeah, it just makes no sense. So hopefully those will come to pay off at some point. Who knows?
But yes, we are following Wedge's cat, who we hope will lead us to Wedge.
Yeah, and Wedge's cat just was perfectly capable of climbing down all these holes and getting through the places that Barret had to shoot through and like find his way there. Remember that in just a second. Just remember that I said these words in just a moment.
The cat is small and nimble, and Barret is large and not nimble.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, just remember that the cat was perfectly capable of getting down there through all the places that we had to shoot through. Just remember that.
Okay.
Anyway, we keep going down. We keep fighting. We're fighting with Tifa. Whatever. We keep going. There's like almost nothing interesting here until we actually find Wedge, right? Wedge is, that's like the next thing. Oh, I'm sorry. We don't find, is the boss battle before or after we find Wedge?
We find Wedge and then we do the boss battle, I believe. Okay.
Where does Wedge go during the boss battle?
No one knows. He's just like off to the side. Still unconscious.
Before. Is it really after? Okay, great. Well, then I'm going to make my rant now. We find Wedge, whatever, the cat's there. The door is about to close. We have to do it. And as we're leaving, Barret is picks up Wedge and is like, okay, we got to go. And then Tifa picks up the cat. Uh-huh. As in, like, we have to carry the cat out of here. The cat was totally fine to get in. Why are we carrying the cat out?
Okay, well, down you have gravity helping you. Up, not so much.
Oh, my God.
My cat can jump down from high heights. He cannot just jump that high back up.
But we don't need to jump. I don't know. It really annoyed me that Tifa's carrying the cat here. It makes no sense.
Maybe the cat just wanted some comfort after its long journey back to find Wedge. Your dead face. I literally thought your video froze, and it is only because there is a candle flickering behind you that I was sure that you were still here.
Secretly, that's the reason why I have the candle, is so, you know, so people know. It's a good benchmark. And then, you know, we get out and we have a boss fight against, I don't even know what these things were, like Demogorgon type situations.
Failed experiments,
except they all looked the same. So, like, I feel like they could have had an opportunity here to maybe fail differently in some situations.
Yeah, well, Shinra's not very good at its experiments, clearly.
Yeah, not very good. This was, I don't know if this, I'm going to call this like a hard boss fight, but it was annoying. There was a lot of them, and like you had to really like position carefully. Also, low key, I had revival earrings on Barret, and they saved this whole fight. I was gonna have to do it again for sure. And I forgot that I had the revival earrings on, and I was pissed last night. It was like midnight or even later, and I was like, oh my God, I do not want to do this again. And then he came back up, and I was like, yes! And so we got it through. So it was great. Revival earrings are amazing. Go get you some. You can find them at your nearest vending machine / bench to sleep on. you know, there was one big thing you had to like do it. Tifa was like up on the top floor fighting and punching, and Bear was shooting. There was almost like no interesting mechanics of this fight, though. It was just like a let's shoot down the boss. Like that was basically it. There was nothing crazy.
Yeah,
here.
You have to like target the appendage to weaken it so that you can stagger it or whatever. But it is mostly like control of large waves of groups of enemies, and then also fighting the like one big bad guy in the middle.
Yes. The other thing that I learned, and I don't even know that this is necessarily true, if there was something else at play, Tifa's chakra ability, I believe, also removes poison, and they were poisoning
her. Oh, does it?
As well. And so I didn't even use it because of that, but I just because like she needed health. So
So chakra is a materia, so anybody can have it.
Oh, okay.
I did not know that it cured poison, if that is the case. I'm going to look it up right now real quick.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe the poison just happened to stop there, but...
Oh, yeah. Restore your HP and cure poison. I literally didn't know that, and I'm almost finished with a fourth playthrough of this game.
Well, you know, I didn't know it either until it actually happened. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So the difference between chakra and prayer is obviously chakra is only for the character who has it equipped. And the amount that it heals you is proportional to how much damage you've taken. So the lower your HP, the more it will heal you. Whereas prayer is for your whole party, but I think it's a flat amount depending on how evolved the materia is. rather than how much damage you've taken.
Yeah, and I have prayer on who do I have it on? I have it on Aerith probably, so not here in this particular situation. We get to the end of the boss fight, we kill it, and then of course Cloud comes in and has the final blow because, you know, he's there.
Did I miss anything? Yeah, oh, he's looks like this guy needs to be taken out. Guys, I got this.
Yeah, don't even worry
about
it.
I got it.
It's me. Have you seen my hair? Come on. It's me. There you go. And that's the end of the chapter, because as they're walking out, they're going back to Sector 7, trying to figure out what to do. I have no idea what they're going to do, besides all I know is we're probably going to go fight Shinra again at some point. And we have to go find Aerith. Who knows if Aerith's mom will let us go actually find her, but that's it. That's the end of chapter
13. Yep. So we're going to head back to Elmira's house so that Wedge can heal up. We'll drop him off there and then see what else is going to happen moving forward. Any final thoughts on this section of the game? Is it time for live attractiveness rankings?
This is going to be tough, but I think it is time. Okay. So this is brutal. We're going to start from the bottom and make our way up here.
Okay.
Number 10 is Miss Volia. We'll keep her on the list. I believe that she still belongs on this list. Okay. This might be her last time, though, unless we see her again. Number 9, let's do Chocobo Sam. Again, okay. Didn't see him this time, but I believe that he still belongs on the list.
Uh-huh.
Number 8. This is getting really tough here. I don't think people realize how much, you know, thought I put into these lists as, you know, as I'm doing them on a week-to-week basis. So this is a good example of the live here. Number 8, you know, he came back. Give me Wedge. Wedge on the list.
Great.
A nice comeback for Wedge there. Number 7, I believe we're on. Oh, people are going to have to get kicked. And this is brutal.
They're like not even dropping down the list. They're just fully exiting.
They just have to be gone. And I'm very upset about it. Number 7, I'm going to go with Ronnie. I think that Ronnie was maybe just a flash in the pan. And I don't think we're going to see him again. But I think he belongs in this list at least one more week.
Okay.
Number 6, I believe we're on.
Yep. That sounds right.
This is brutal. This is really, really brutal. I have to make one more big cut here. Maybe 2. Number 6, give me Rude, who came back. Had another glasses moment.
And he's been off the list.
Well, he was on the list the last time, I think.
Oh, was
he? At number 10, I think.
Oh, okay,
I don't know. I don't do statistics on these lists. I just it's a vibe thing. I think we're at 5. Number 5, give me Madam M.
Mm-hmm.
Still on the list. Number 4, give me Andrea Rodea.
Okay, yeah.
A little bit of a drop down, but I still like Andrea Rodea quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, welcome back to the list, and what a massive climb, Barrett. All the way back at number 3, big climb for Barrett.
He had fallen off the list, right?
He had certainly fallen off the list. Number 2, give me Tifa. Number 1, staying at the top, is Aerith.
Okay.
I have decided the dead people
did
not make the list.
Brutal.
So sorry.
Brutal.
It is an attractiveness ranking as well as a live ranking, I suppose.
No necromancy on this list.
No, yeah, you can't be attracted to dead people. That's a hard and fast rule that I have in my life. So.
Oh, yeah?
Can't do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good rule, but.
So, Cary Grant, nothing.
Nothing.
Marilyn Monroe, nothing.
You could keep listing dead people all you like.
I don't know. Point made.
So sorry to Jesse and Biggs. Both certainly would have made the list, especially as they were coming back, but unfortunately can't do it. There you are. That's a live list right there, and I didn't even write down the actual order, so I'm counting on someone else doing that for me. Or it will just never be written down, which is also fine. So there we are. There's our top 10.
Cool. Sounds good. Big shakeups this week. Really, like, everybody that you were like, we haven't seen these people in forever. All of them.
Yeah.
Coming back big this week.
Bigs.
Coming back bigs. RIP, headed right back out. Rest in pillar.
Wow.
Too soon?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, look at this. All of these, Adam's constantly like, haven't seen this guy in forever, haven't seen this guy in forever. And it's true. We hadn't seen, I think even Barrett, we hadn't seen since like chapter 7. So big reunions here this week. Lost some big characters. Thanks. Lots of movement. And we'll see what's coming up next time with chapter 14, which I've told you is a big chapter. That is the only one we will cover next week, and we'll see if we even cover the whole thing. I don't know, because Adam has to go to Vegas again apparently. So we will be back next week with chapter, some portion or all of chapter 14, In Search of Hope. I am Hard Rock Hope. I'm right here. Adam, what do you have going on? I didn't do any mid pod plugs this week.
No mid pod plugs.
But it's fun. But saying mid pod plugs, isn't it, is really satisfying.
Yeah, it happened like a month ago back on Crazy Ex Girlfriend, and we were just like, dang, this is really fun to say it. We should do this more often. And I think it's a very funny bit. So anyway, I am Adam H. You can find me on Twitter at PianoManAdam1. Also, various things on post-show recaps. Mythic Quest, we're getting into season 3 with Jess Sterling. We just had Todd the Librarian on. I believe next week we're going to have the great Melissa Woodward on. Speaking of Melissa, I do a Doctor Who podcast with Kevin and Melissa, also on the patron-only feed for post-show recaps. We are doing the end of the first season of David Tennant. We skipped a lot of episodes that I have to watch basically today. So we skipped a lot of episodes there. We're doing the two-part season finale there. Very exciting. We finished our coverage of Cabinet Curiosities, and then also very exciting, we have finished Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Yeah. We have gone through the entire show. We did our series finale with Jessica Sterling, and then we did our season 4 wrap up and retrospective. That'll be coming out this week. We're taking a little bit of a break afterwards. We finished the show. There'll be some little intermittent bonus content for you there over at 1CXG Podcast. But starting next year, we're going to be talking about Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. So we have picked our next show, and that's what we're going to be doing, which is very exciting. But yeah, that's me. Or you can find me in Vegas this week, much to the dismay of one Brooklyn Zed.
Yeah, it's true. I spent 3 days in Vegas in 2019, and it was 2 days too many. So that's my feelings on Vegas.
I'm doing like 5 this trip. It's
God, I cannot think of a place I would less like to go for that long. That's not true. That's not true.
I was gonna say, wow.
There are a lot of places I don't want to go for that long, but not my personal cup of tea, Las Vegas. You can find me at Hard Rock Hope on Twitch, which seems to be hanging out for now. No, Twitter. Oh, boy. I'm also tired. Twitch.tv/HardRockHope. You can find me there playing Final Fantasy VII Remake in hard mode. I've currently jumped ahead to go on my God or Dameron hunt, which means nothing to Adam and never will, because he's not going to play this game in hard mode. That's fine. I am playing Final Fantasy IV on Fridays. And you can find me playing Persona 5 Royal on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I made a schedule. I'm trying to stick to a schedule again. It's been a while. I'm trying to get some structure back into my life. That's where you can find me, at Hard Rock Hope, wherever I am on the internet. Don't forget, you can support the podcast, support Post Show Recaps at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Apparently, anytime is a great time to join these
days. It's always the best time.
I have heard. Amazing. We love to see it. Take care, everybody. We'll catch you on the Discord. Have a good week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.